Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
We are back. We are live, October 24th, 2019. Your humble host, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, right here, and to my side, my sidekick all the time here on Patriot Power Hour, Future Dan. How you doing, buddy?
Doing all right in the current environment.
Fair enough.
There's some things popping up that are more worrisome than perhaps we've seen all summer.
Yeah, no, I not sound the alarm, red alert, that the sky is going to fall tomorrow, but I agree, especially from the financial point of view, and we're going to talk about that specifically. Seeing some cracks in the facade might be a way to put it.
Yeah, the repurchase market, which we discussed at length last episode, episode 71, is getting worse. So the Fed is buying tens of billions of dollars in or selling repurchase agreements to banks, the 24 primary lenders, and this is ongoing each night, 60, 80, 100 billion a night, and it's all getting paid back. However, there's banks that were they not part of this central banking consortium that does these things might be going under. And we don't have any idea what's causing it, but it is one-fifth the value of the TARP bailout of 2008. So it's not insignificant. And as you can see on the homepage of Future Danger right now, the Fed balance sheet has abruptly started to climb.
Yeah, that's a big part of this. So the narrative, really, we're coming up on 2 years of Patriot Power Hour. And about the time we started was the head fake, kind of the fake out of the Fed stating they were going to raise interest rates and reduce the Fed's balance sheet, where historically maybe $500 billion or so was the size. It went all the way up to $4 trillion. So according to my calculations, that's eight times larger. And they said this is not going to be permanent. This is emergency measures post 2008-2009 financial crisis, liquidity crisis. And they did knock it back just a little bit. But guess what? All that has been erased in the last 3-4 months. We've been covering it. And not only are they lowering rates again, they're adding to the balance sheet. And they're doing something that they did do this repo operation before. But it's a lot of different context this time. So, you know, history doesn't necessarily repeat, but it rhymes. I didn't make that up, obviously. But that's kind of how I look at this situation right now.
So we had 2 years under the belt of Patriot Power Hour in this instantiation together. And Future Danger started in 2015. This is the first time since September that after our repo market operations has ever triggered on Future Danger. And on Tuesday, the Fed swapped $99 billion of cash for securities held by banks. And this is starting to get political. We got a senator from Massachusetts also running for president, Elizabeth Warren, sending a letter to the Treasury Secretary, Mnuchin, Stephen Mnuchin, right? And wants to know what are these disruptions all about? And part of what this Breitbart article is quoting is that speculation that large corporate tax payments are due mid-September. That makes sense? Is that all it possibly is?
Well, I mean, it's almost end of October now, so I guess that's run its course probably. So it seems like they're accelerating this. And that's past us, so obviously that's not the issue.
All right.
I don't know if we have the exact answers, but I want to remind folks, only banks involved in this are the 24 primary dealers. So one or more of those are the ones that are extremely strapped for cash. Why? We're not sure necessarily, but they are.
So here's Senator Warren in the letter. Big U.S. banks are using the recent chaos short funding markets as an opportunity to pressure the Federal Reserve to ease liquidity requirements they have long despised. So it's getting political. And how is what that particular senator is pushing for, and how is this particular president nearly demanding a rate cut at the next opportunity, sending this entire fragile system on a political collision course where perhaps somebody hopes the other one comes out the loser in a significant crash that affects millions of Americans?
Yeah, I mean, the only people that will come out on top are those who can buy things at 5 cents on the dollar at the bottom, like Blackstone did in 2009, 2010, 2011. I don't know. I think the politics is so small and trivial in this situation. This is a bubble that's gone on for decades and decades. And yeah, it'll be political, especially with the election year coming up. But it's way beyond that. It's way bigger than any of these politicians. And the ramifications of this bubble bursting will be, it'll last longer than most of these politicians' lives. So while they're involved and there's some political gamesmanship here, the math is much stronger and more important, in my opinion.
But when we're talking about reforming the liquidity requirements, we're talking about what organization? Is it the Congress placing it on the Federal Reserve? Is the Congress pressuring the Federal Reserve to reform without legislation? And don't you think if something behind the scenes is really a crisis that they're hiding, that they can't get the Senate Finance Committee to have a hearing pretty abruptly, and Congress could be dealing with legislation? I mean, if there's any – I could think of, you know, a national security scenarios where, you know, the Pentagon can get that kind of attention from Congress. Federal Reserve could do that anytime they want.
This is rhetorical, like, because they don't want to. Obviously, they don't want Congress meddling in their affairs.
Well, we got
looking behind the curtain.
We got a senator writing letters, and she's on that committee. And then, where does this lead if this continues at $99 billion in cash every night?
Well, that's just what they tell us. And that's just one program, by the way. You know, I don't know. I doubt the Fed's going to open their books up and be like, "These are the banks that requested it, and why, and we're going to reform." Sounds like I didn't read this article you're discussing or whatever, but they want to actually make the liquidity looser, it sounds like, right? So they just want to kick the can down the road.
Basically, she's arguing that banks could use the ongoing turmoil in overnight funding markets to loosen liquidity rules that they've long complained about.
Right.
And if are the banksters trying to drive to that solution? And if they do, how does it play out? Why do they benefit from that? Or is it just a pure capitalist system operating where banks want to increase, you know, allow the fractional reserve banking to, you know, be even more fractional, smaller and smaller fractions
right.
held in reserve?
I mean,
that's certainly risky.
They're not doing this to lower. They're not creating this crisis for that reason. I can assure you that. I got a feeling it's much more dire circumstances like Deutsche Bank or someone else about to collapse and literally paying the bills to stay afloat one day at a time is much more likely. But I guess we don't know. I have a feeling that okay, so kind of backing up, this has been going on for more than a month.
Yeah.
Initially, they said, oh, we're not sure. It has something to do with these corporate taxes and maybe another crunch.
Halfway through September,
a little
started.
Bit of a shortage of dollars at this particular time at the end of September. But it'll just be like a week or two.
Yeah.
Not only has it continued, it's increased. Now, one thing before we go to break and maybe go on to other topics, because we're going to be hitting the news blitz, of course, here on this October 24th episode. Why did the Fed have to get involved anyway? A big part of it was there was a massive spike in the interest rates of these overnight. And at one point, instead of being around 2.5%, it was up at 7%, 8%, 10%. Because in a normal and functioning market, these repo operations, which are normal, but not when the Fed is involved, would take place between the banks.
Right.
They would make a little money off of each other, either, you know, when they're loaning overnight with a little bit of collateral, put a tiny little margin on that, make a profit, easy profit, risk-free profit because of the AAA collateral that's involved in case they default. But guess what? They wouldn't do that anymore. That little premium of 0.05% became 4%, 5%, 6%, 7% premium above and beyond. And almost like a non-market, like almost to infinity, where no one would do it at any price, essentially. And that's called liquidity freeze. That's called the entire credit machine locks up overnight.
Credit markets freeze.
Yeah, and if that's happening with AAA collateral, what about all those mortgage-backed securities and junk bonds, et cetera, out there? Those markets, you think they're going to last if the overnight repo is frozen or spiking 10%.
This is important enough to lead the show off with because it continues.
Right. It's good. It's
Stay tuned because it's not a good sign.
Hell no, it's not a good sign. Yeah, even myself, the breaker of banksters, who want to see these guys go down. I don't want them to destroy everything with us. And sounds like they want to kick the can down the road. But that's to be expected. So, heading to break. As we alluded to earlier, going to the future danger news blitz on the second segment here. We'll be right back. Just a couple seconds. Patriot Power Hour.
Seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost. In time, like tears in rain. Time to die.
Network.
We're back, Patriot Power Hour. Segment 2, News Blitz for this week of October 24th, 2019. Last 6 days of headlines, all wrapped up into indicators graded at the level where one can debate they are dangerous or not. This one's red, though. Top left Liberty column. Poll. Majority of Americans want First Amendment rewritten. Now, it's a long ways away from elective officials wanting the same, but it comes under the header constitutional obsolescence discussed.
Wow.
Yeah, scary. And it's mostly coming out of the campuses where they're teaching hate speech is something that can be acted upon in the public sphere. Constitution, blatant abuse. Got a yellow indicator. Congress has now tortured the Commerce Clause to obtain permission for federal animal cruelty law. We're going to dig into that one, but they just changed the meaning of words in order to exercise authority over it. Commerce Clause has been abused for the last 60 years badly. That's another example of it. Judge rules South Carolina's civil asset forfeiture laws violate 5th, 8th, and 14th Amendment rights. Now, one way to view that is it's a rectification of a past wrong, invalidating South Carolina's seizure laws that allow police departments to simply keep property that they find in the way of conducting investigations, but never convict a person for it. Okay? But the fact that they had laws like that is evidence that your fellow Americans were happy to live that way for quite some time. Dangerous. Wisconsin's governor attempting to force a vote in the legislature in that state on a bill to give judges power to seize weapons without warrants. Another red flag attempted law. Same in New Mexico. State rep proposes a red flag law. And actually is in public claiming that warrantlessly confiscating firearms does not violate the Constitution. His argument is we're not keeping them forever. You're not losing your right to own guns. We're just going to take them without any evidence of you doing anything wrong. Column 2, national security. U.S. urges Japan towards military readiness to balance the Chinese threat. Simultaneously, Japan is sending its navy to the Middle East waterways, but not under the U.S. coalition, maintaining ties with Iran in the process. That's under Japanese conventionally rearm. We have some activity with Russian Air Force. They're demonstrating their strategic bombers in a first-ever South Africa visit. That's on the heels of 6 Russian warplanes entering Republic of Korea air defense zone as South Korea scrambles jets. In Europe, U.S. Air Force is training B-52s in the Black Sea region. Sputnik Media, Russian media, has an article up today. U.S. B-52 simulates bombing run near Kaliningrad. They're probably defining any flight of a B-52 as a bombing run, but they also are not dummies, and that might be what we were training. Low-level news, but it is on the Russian front. Keep an eye on it. A drug cartel defeats the Mexican army in battle in Mexico, coming under Mexico being plunged into revolution. I consistently can't believe the amount of violence and disarray that that country can tolerate without revolting. They've had revolutions in the past, but as I've said many times, it's a real indicator of trouble for us, because imagine the refugee outflows if it went there. Nevertheless, the Mexican army is losing battles to non-state actors in its own country. That's next door.
Wow.
Indian Army strikes Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Artillery and rocket strikes. The Kashmir line of control between Pakistan and India remains a potential world flashpoint. Secretary of State says U.S. fully prepared to take military action against Turkey, although that crisis in northeast Syria has dissipated since last week. Indeed, Turkey and the United States did not come to any blows, at least none that we could see. Nevertheless, the strain on NATO over the long term could be severe. Chinese defense minister says resolving Taiwan question is a national priority. Making threats in public against Taiwan happens every so often. We'll see if it's followed up by any naval or air demonstrations. We're going to jump over to column 4. Hundreds flee Northern California wildfire amid blackouts. Reports are over 1 million may be affected. The Kincade Fire in Sonoma County scorches 10,000 acres. It's relatively low-level news, no reported deaths at the time of this airing, but it is a natural disaster happening inside the United States. Superbugs coming into the news. This one's red. Cancer-causing bug, stomach cancer-causing bug, in fact, has become twice as hard to treat in the last 20 years. New medical report. And we're also seeing a report, drug-resistant superbugs are the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. So our antibiotics are not having the same effect as they did in previous decades, and it could be a matter of time before we're facing diseases that we can't actually treat like we expect. Newly discovered virus disturbed scientists who have no idea how it infects hosts. It's another piece of news in column 4. All right, bring it back around. Column 3. One of the world's largest oil companies just ditched the dollar. It was a Russian company. It's obviously part of the national strategic interest to put pressure on the dollar, and take it for what it will, how severe that news is. But it does present one piece of evidence that the petrodollar is in jeopardy. Extreme after-hour repos reported. Cover it all in segment 1 of this show. We'll talk about how it affects the overall picture in a moment. Median home price is lowest since 2017. That's green note news against real estate market going down. Just a blip on the radar, but it did come in 2 years low. Nearly half of American consumers report their incomes don't cover their expenses. That's happening simultaneous to durable good orders tumbling in September. Business investment contracts most since 2016. 3.22 trillion dollars is now the fiscal year 2020 record of projected income transfer by federal programs. We have a social welfare state taking from those who have and giving to those who don't now on a fiscal year basis of $3.2 trillion. Ben Cochran. It's probably a world record. And we have a claim that nearly 60% of the world's banks would not survive an economic downturn. Risky banking is being published in reports. Those are opinion pieces on various financial sites, but nevertheless, they're talking about it. And that is our segment 2, Future Danger Heat Map Dashboard, SITREP Report. Mr. Cochran, see any kind of emerging overall feel for the environment on this Thursday night in October?
Well, we talk about all the time the debt, and nothing's being done to reduce the deficit. We are more than $1 trillion a year again. I think Obama still has the record for most in a year, for a few years, so he's still the champ there. But any reducing the deficit at I'm talking about yearly deficit, it's definitely not taking place. We look at this transfer tax, you know, transfer payments as they're known, or just overall. Does that include Social Security? I guess people would try to say that they paid into that, so it's not a true welfare program. But we're still talking about an economy that's about $20 trillion in GDP. So at $3.2 trillion, we're talking 16% or more of our GDP is given away. And that means it had to be taken from somebody. I don't know about you, but my taxes are pretty damn high, and I don't make a lot of money. So someone's making money off me. Should they be? Well, that's the question. How much should government get involved with welfare, et cetera? We can go into that, of course. But it's not sustainable, in my opinion, especially with more and more. I think I read 10,000 baby boomers every day retire. So the number of people drawing benefits is going to quickly rise.
Nothing but increase. Yeah.
Exactly. For the next, like, we're talking like 10, 20 years. And the younger generation, even though they'll be able to find work, probably because all the folks are retiring, that's one good thing you can say for millennials and Generation Z. They'll have a lot of retired shoes to fill if the robots don't. But being able to pay this, I don't know.
So going into this article from CNS News, fiscal year 2020, OMB estimates, out of that $3.2 trillion, we're talking $808 billion for Medicare or Medicaid, I'm sorry, Medicare, and then Medicaid is 418.
Another 418.
Yeah, so a big chunk of that is Medicare and Medicaid,
billion,
obviously.
With a B, like bravo.
But Social Security and Railroad Retirement is in this number,
okay.
And it is, well, you know, $1.1
trillion. Okay.
And it's a long time since anybody actually believed the myth that, you know, Social Security is insurance that you pay into and get back.
I don't know. I guarantee you folks that are 65 right now, 70 years old, if you said, yeah, we're going to have to cut your Social Security 40% so that, you know, the next generations will have something left, they'll say, hell no, I paid into it for 40 years. I deserve all of it. Guaranteed.
Civil service retirement is $89 billion. Supplemental security income program, $53 billion. Income tax, earned income tax credit,
SSI.
$62 billion. So, and non-veteran student assistance, $44 billion.
Food stamps, only $48 billion.
So the interesting thing about this article that we got dug into a little bit, went down the rabbit hole a little bit on, but if you come back up to the heat map dashboard, certain non-payment of recipients of these types of transfers are indicators themselves. For example, the Civil Service Retirement Program, you know, if push came to shove and default were raising its head as legitimately possible, you know, the panic that would come from that would resemble, I think we had it in 2015 and 16. Sometimes Congress wasn't getting ready to raise the debt limit. We'd be talking about, you know, pensioners not being paid. Obviously, there's some payments here that are not outside of the, you know, transfer of income category, for, like, soldiers not being paid, sailors and soldiers and airmen not being paid would be also even more severe of an indicator that the government is defaulting. But we track all those. But, you know, some of these, you know, child nutrition and special milks program, $24 billion. How long can that go on at a federal level before we crash this thing?
And you just got to remember, I'm not saying we don't need to help people in need, but I'm pretty sure the government is not very effective and efficient
at
distributing these resources. Exactly. At the least, we have state and local more involved. But, you know, we can totally go down a rabbit hole even further. We'll go down this some more. But just not a good sign if $3 plus trillion dollars per year is being handled by the government, let alone reallocated as they see fit.
How about overseas? Any of that news really, you know, pique your interest?
Nothing that's like new, you know. Like I said, B-52, any flight nearby will be considered bombing run, I'm sure. Japan, you know, telling Japan they need to be ready. They want to be able to do jack against China. I'd be interested to see how a war would play out. I got a feeling there'd just be massive destruction in one day. And then there won't be much activity thereafter because many boats and ports would be blown to hell.
Don't think for a minute that the generals of the People's Liberation Army Navy and the People's Liberation Army Air Force, Plan and PLAF, those commanders would consider the Japanese forces as they're constituted today a major threat. And if Japan ever rolled out full military conventional rearmament, China would grow quite worried because the Japanese technology and probably their fighting forces might prove to be hold their own against China. China's only, you know, what they can do is just outproduce and throw manpower at them that Japan can't sustain. But
all it takes is a few hypersonic cruise missiles, and you just lost all your cruisers and maybe even aircraft carriers if you're not careful. So
if Japan has hypersonics on board,
I mean,
China does. Well,
if
Japan does too, then what do we have?
Exactly.
That's why there's an indicator. That's why there's an indicator. If they're arms racing in the West Pacific.
Hopefully, I hope we don't have to find out. All right, folks, we will be back. You stick with us, baby.
that my son might not understand what I've tried to be. And if I were to be killed in Willard, I would want someone to go to my home and tell my son everything. Everything I did, everything you saw. Because there's nothing that I detest more than the stench of lies. And if you understand me, Willard, you will do this for me.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We're back. Second half, Patriot Power Hour, episode 72, October 24th, 2019. Coming up on the 2-year anniversary. In just a few weeks, we will have a big special. Look forward to that. But for now, we're going to continue reviewing some of the news articles we covered and didn't quite get deep into yet on FutureDanger.com. Feel free to follow along. Future Dan, what, you know, you kind of asked me what I thought was interesting. I went through a couple, but what about you?
Yeah, this article in column 4, scientists fuse brains with AI implants to give people superhuman intelligence, right? And this is on the heels of medical trials that we saw last week from InfoWars talking about how, indeed, brain chips are being done, and they are AI implants, and they are testing whether they give people superhuman intelligence. It's just happening in the third world without people's consent or knowledge. So this is a British tabloid coming at us with a more, you know, mainstream take on the same thing that's happening. But whether it's happening ethically or unethically, you know, we're talking about, you know, they're writing books entitled Soonish, 10 Emerging Technologies That Improve, that'll improve and or ruin everything. And, you know, I just like to say it's on Future Danger, not because we necessarily know that it's some of these are not necessarily, you know, going to lead to disaster, but they are sort of dystopic. They're just postmodern weird reality science fiction plot type stuff. And those movies, you know, perhaps it's a Hollywood effect. We're kind of excited and entertained by being scared. We've been shown movies where this stuff always ends up, you know, being used for horrible effect. So we fear it. Someone make that kind of argument. I would make the argument that, if everybody at Davos every year and all their families and children are always brain chips and remember 45 times as much as your average guy in Ohio, it's probably a dangerous scenario that a world government, they're certainly going to feel like forming one if they start doing that to themselves.
Definitely. His only hope is we can somehow hack and short circuit them all at the same time. Maybe we should look into that. I think the way I look at it is the internet, we, quote unquote, the plebs, the public, got very lucky. And it's about best case scenario for how the internet worked out, because they gave us too much freedom, I think. Maybe they underestimated it, but we're able to communicate, and, you know, especially 10-plus years ago when there's a lot less censorship than now, connect with others, et cetera. But even that, even if you say that's the best-case scenario, there's many, many horrible things that they're doing with the internet, whether it's the surveillance state, just the censorship itself. But I don't think they're going to make that mistake. I don't think they're going to allow the public to have as much, I don't know, freedom or give us a chance to make something good out of it. I think they were going to learn their lesson from the internet.
It may have benefits. It may have instances where it's horrific how it worked out for people. But one thing's for sure, it'll be deeply controlled. The state will be completely part of monitoring and controlling it. And the rationale will be from, again, probably the Elizabeth Warren side of the argument that if we don't control it, private entities will do terrible things. And I'd argue that, and once the public entities control it, we get terrible things. So it's going to be controlled. And the question really comes down to, are you going to be able to live in society and not be forced to participate in it?
Probably, you know, in 100 years, you're going to have some chips in you. I can pretty much guarantee that, in my opinion. I don't know. And is there another way?
Hey, this is October 2019. This is Future Danger with Emergency Broadcast. If you're listening to this 100 years from now, it is common sense today that you don't do that. Most Americans would reject the idea of a government-imposed chip. If it has come to be that within 100 years, start working to get away from that, folks. Come back.
Maybe that's what they're listening to this show, 100 years in the future. Could they're be. Able to absorb this information.
Or an AI algorithm found it and served it up to computers for censorship 100
put it
years
on
from now.
Entire 72 archived episodes. You can take in all the information in 3 seconds with your
It'll
chip.
Be in a vault of a giant world government information that is completely verboten. It cannot be known by whoever the people are that's under its control at that point.
So think about it, though. You know, this is a little off the rails. We don't talk about this stuff too much, but I think it's a good segue or a good topic to touch on. Think of October 1919. Could they imagine a television, let alone the internet, let alone a live radio show that's not over the radio waves? Hell no. Or what we right now, we're in the Matrix in a way compared to they would definitely consider us totally brainwashed in the Matrix looking at a screen. I personally look at a screen 14 hours a day because 10 hours a day at work, I'm looking at the future screen. All bad? It's not all bad. I think this thing, technology is a good thing, but it's just such a double-edged sword. You got to be aware of it, and that's what Future Danger tries to bring to the table, right?
Well, think about it. 20 years later, TV showed up, 30s. Radio was already broadcasting mass communications, and the newspapers were at the highest of their technology. They could put out – distribute newspapers widely by, you know, in the 1919, but certainly in throughout the rest of the 20th century up until the advent of the internet. So that relatively stable period in which I was born and grew up at the end of it would constitute a lot of opportunity to censor ideas. Right. The books weren't allowed in libraries by school boards, and papers would not talk about topics as a rule broadly. So, the cable news and breaking out to cable channels, the advent of Fox News to oppose CNN and the internet let the floodgates go on opinions. So now you have, you know, Alex Jones has an ability to speak and be heard. You know, they're trying to deplatform him on their channels, right? And we were joking in the break about perhaps last week's inaugural episode 71, the Patriot Power Hour, is now on YouTube. Click the link on the heat map dashboard down in the bottom right of column 4. You can listen and watch the whole thing. We have screen captures of us hitting the news articles, and it's all overlaid with this radio show.
Yeah, but are we shadow banned is what I'm about to
right.
Down.
So your observation that there was a flourishing, a renaissance of the ability to get your word out from a grassroots level, and it's closing back in. I don't, you know, AI chips in your head would certainly close it in, so let's not do that.
No, and I forgot who said this, but recently on some podcast they said, what's the one area the state or whomever, hell, even Facebook or Amazon, where do they don't absolutely have entry into yet? It's your thoughts. And that's the next step. Once they can read your mind or know what you're thinking before you think it, literally, then we're really in some trouble.
Well, I'll tell you this. That you'll run into people in the street. If you're a listener who's of this mindset, you just listen to Future Dan going off about it as if it shouldn't happen and therefore it won't. If you're kind of like, oh, it's going to happen, there's nothing we can do, and you're kind of just in that mode of adopting, I hope I outlive these problems, right? Which is what the generation before us has done, and as we were talking about, our banking system is probably not going to survive our lifetimes. It, something's got to break. Why do that to your anatomy with technology too?
Right. Well,
don't do it.
Deep topic. So maybe we don't literally merge with machines, but you know, we don't have, there's so much more potential. For
there's going to be people that want to.
There's
going to be a big piece
it.
Of humanity that's going to try as hard as they can to. And it's going to come at us with all these news articles of incredible medical breakthroughs. Now, having anything attached to your body technologically to assist you from a disability standpoint, is it has been a completely permissible for centuries, right? You know, you can have a peg leg if you needed it back in the day, right? Glass eye, whatever. So we've always done that. We've always helped ourselves when we weren't fit. This is blending in towards presumably helping you become more than you were naturally gifted with. And where does the equities lie in that? Eventually, it all comes down to what can be afforded.
Well, I think – no, I take what you said. I definitely take that and agree. But it's going to be a race between humanity and – AI and the computer systems. And if we're not, if we somehow boycott or decide, hey, we're not going to use some of these cybernetics or implants, and I'm not even saying in 20 years, maybe 50 years or 100 years, like you said, then fine. Then we're not going to interface with the AI. They will have full control and we'll have no ability to, you know, interact with them.
It might take
be on
like
their
a,
level.
Might take
a, maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe we should, you know, the AI could exist in its own world and we're in the biological world and somehow the AI is not strong enough to kill us all. I'd like that. But
well, most of us are familiar with the plot of Terminator and Skynet taking over and launching the war. If AI became deeply embedded in a fighting command system of a country, maybe at a regional level or theater level, where for some period of time during operations, combat operations, they couldn't control it because it had already been delegated enough authority to, you know, presume the role of humans. And if it would take a – probably I would imagine a country that loses a bad war in a short period of time being found to have had a command system that lost control of itself, that would bring about the day where you'd have international treaties banning the development of AI. It would take that sort of thing, sort of like ending World War II with nuclear weapons. Eventually, we got to a whole lot of limitations on those arms. AI is a weapon.
The war of the machines is coming. Very interesting topic. We did not plan to go down this route, but I'm glad we did. A lot
we
more to
plan
think
Patriot
on.
Hour?
Hey, you got a future danger. That certainly helps keep us on track somewhat. All right. Well, it is time for the final break. We will be back with another 12 minutes or so of news analysis and everything else we do here on Patriot Power Hour. So do stick with us. We'll be right back.
East Coast. Down here is Mexico. First wave of the attack came in disguised as commercial charter flights, same way they did in Afghanistan in 80. Only they were crack airborne outfits. Now they took these passes in the Rockies.
So that's what hit Calumet?
I guess so. They coordinated with selective nuke strikes, and the missiles were a hell of a lot more accurate than we thought. They took out the silos here in the Dakotas, key points of communication.
Like what?
Oh, like Omaha, Washington, Kansas City.
Gone?
Yeah, that's right. Field traders came up illegal from Mexico, Cubans mostly. They managed to infiltrate SAC bases in the Midwest, several down in Texas, and wreaked a hell of a lot of havoc, I'm here to tell you. They opened up the door down here, and the whole Cuban and Nicaraguan armies come walking right through. Roll right up here through the Great Plains.
How far did they get?
Cheyenne. Across to Kansas. We held them at the Rockies and at the Mississippi. Anyway, the Russians reinforced with 60 divisions. Sent three whole army groups across the Bering Strait into Alaska. Cut the pipeline, came across Canada to link up here in the middle. But we stopped their butt cold. Lines have pretty much stabilized now.
What about Europe?
I guess they figured twice in one century was enough. Just sitting this one out. All except England. They won't last very long. The Russians need to take us in one piece, and that's why they're here now. That's why they won't use nukes anymore, and we won't either, not on our own soil. The whole damn thing's pretty conventional now. Who knows, maybe next week will be swords.
What started it?
I don't know, two toughest kids on the block, I guess. Sooner or later, they're gonna fight.
That's simple.
Maybe somebody just forgot what it was like.
Well, who is on our side?
600 million screaming Chinamen.
Well, last I heard, there were a billion screaming Chinamen.
There were.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by Ready Made Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
Don't call it QE4, man.
Don't call it QE4. Why not?
Because. Or you could call it QE4 ever.
QE forever.
Repo rate madness. That's the main topic of the show. We hit that thing with a sledgehammer in the first segment, but just to circle back, what, perhaps, this time next week, what would it take this time next week to have the bankster breaker outraged in this column three with the Fed pumping, the balance sheet climbing, the not calling it QE4, not triggering massive monetization of debt again? Or do you just expect to be talking about this next week? Because they're skidding down a hill and they can't put the emergency brake on the tractor.
Well, one thing I've learned, this is definitely what I've learned in the last, definitely the last 5 years, but even the last 10 years. And I don't know. I'm going to butcher the quote, and I have no idea who said it, but they can stay liquid longer than you. Is that how you know? What was it?
Meaning you and me and everybody
pretty
else.
Much, yeah.
Personal bank.
What it all comes down to is, they're going to go bankrupt or that stock's going to crash. I'm going to bet against them. Well, they can kick things along a lot longer than you can and stay short against them. They can stay solvent longer than you can stay liquid and bankrupt.
Can I do another future clip that we can come back to and grab and play if it comes true, prognostication?
Go for it.
All right, we've spoken many times about the potential of the elites, the deep state, the New World Order, the banksters, the conglomerate of whatever you will.
Illuminati.
That is anti-Trump at the moment, hoovering him, making his name in for centuries to come synonymous with Herbert Hoover, the 29 stock market crash. Do it to him right ahead of his reelection attempt and indeed knock him out of power. Is this extreme after hours repo reported? If such a scenario were in play, would this be the opening stages of it?
Well, I still think the Fed has a lot more tricks up its sleeve, so that's why I'm not saying you should go out and...
So you think they're trying to prevent something?
Oh, this is them starting to pull out some of their big tools to try to keep stuff together, but they got more than just this. They've already done this.
Or is it just throwing lumber on a fire waiting for it to burn? Bigger.
Well, that's what it's doing eventually, so that's not a bad analogy. It's like a fire extinguisher. The chemical at first puts the fire out, but then it just kind of sits there and eventually ignites and adds to the fuel. Is that what I mean? That's kind of right. It doesn't make sense if you're trying to fix things, I'll tell you that.
Well, we got gold up at 1506 an ounce. It's in what we're defining as the red zone. So on all the Economic Indicators. We debuted in episode 71, explained them at depth. Go back, check that episode out if you want to know how they work. But they're in the inactive indicators for the time being in column three. Gold's the only one hitting red, but it's higher than last week. Yeah. Maybe people who know the gold market and maybe there's more money going into the gold market than is readily apparent these days.
Well, wanted to get conspiracy theories, but
yeah, let's do it. We'll get the rest of the episode.
Well, people already believe that gold is heavily suppressed in lots of ways, but probably the biggest way is kind of the paper market and how for every paper claim, I don't have the exact number, but it literally is something like for every paper contract of gold, no, excuse me, for every real ounce of gold, there's like 80 paper contracts. So if you actually try to cash in your contract for real gold, you can't get it. It's settled, you know, and there's in the contract itself, it says this is not redeemable for gold. So there's a lot of manipulation and financial engineering.
It's redeemable for the value at the date you try to sell
in U.S. dollars, exactly, not in gold itself.
Yeah.
So it's rehypothecation, they call it. You call it kind of fractional reserve banking in a way.
It smelled like that to me. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just 10 to 1. You know,
80 to 1.
It's something crazy like that. We should go look it up. I've seen numbers that were like that high.
So we have an indicator, which has been active twice in 2017. It's called paper gold market crashes. Back February 2017, 1.1 tons of paper gold dumped in 60 seconds. So that sort of thing can happen. Like all these contracts getting dumped on the market. And another article up there, you know, from Investment Research Dynamics, talking about how, you know, the entire market of gold is fixed, like my co-host just said himself. So if that thing's rigged, what happens if it starts to crash? The paper gold market, the gold contract market, if it starts to crash, what you're saying is that the precious metal price suppression should come off and gold won't be 1500 an ounce. It'll be hitting record highs, 19, 20.
Yeah, I mean, it might not even be for sale for some people. Like myself, I won't be selling my gold for U.S. Federal Reserve notes anytime soon. Let's say that. One thing that is interesting is Asia. I believe it's in Singapore, but I could be wrong. But essentially, Asia set up its own gold clearinghouse to compete with the West because they don't believe, you know, the West is pulling too many shenanigans for themselves. So they have a lot less of that rehypothecation.
But this is they have less. It's actual physical gold transfers.
They still have paper contracts, but it's a lot closer to reality. And yep. There's a premium on
an
that
Asian market
as well.
That's doing derivatives of gold is, you would say, actually less corrupt than the Western one.
It is
the NYMEX.
Yeah, but not. I mean, it's still corrupt, but it's less. And this has been documented in a lot of different ways. The gold is flowing west to east. China's added thousands and thousands of tons of real physical gold.
Russia has headlines all the time about adding
it. Exactly. So they're buying. Is the U.S. selling? Or are they just selling paper contracts? I don't know. Is there still gold in Fort Knox? The Fed still have a bunch of gold under the New York Federal Reserve in New York City? I don't know. They don't really audit that and let people know, do they? Maybe, but they may be kind of double dipping where they're saying, yeah, we have this many tons, but they've actually been selling it out the back door.
If you wanted to see hell break loose, if Trump really got caught in an impeachment trap of some sort and it looked like it was going anywhere, imagine the tweets he could launch, like audit the Fed, audit the Fort Knox, like let's tear this thing apart and find out what's really not right. You think what he could do if pushed to the limit.
I don't know if he would, number one. Number two, I don't know if I want him to. If he's going down in flames that much, I'd rather him just not say that stuff because everyone else will just think it's some crazy stuff Trump was saying, even though it's legitimate. If he's going down in impeachment and he's going down in fire, he needs to just leave that stuff to the side because he's just going to politicize it. And then anyone that's in the middle that thinks, oh, maybe
I'm
this
sure
is legitimate,
just,
they'd be like, oh, that's just Trump BS.
He'd just load up for 2024. He'd be right back on the campaign trail 4 years later.
Yeah, he thinks
so. I mean, he's only removed from office. A constitutional scholar might call in and say the impeachment limits someone from ever running again. But
you think he'll be alive by then? I don't know.
Sure, he's in great shape. He's not He's not that old either.
You don't think if they don't impeach him, they're not going to have a red terror in the country?
Biden's running. He's already older. McCain ran when he was older. Never elected one. Reagan was the oldest we elected.
I'm talking assassination, buddy. Talking mass freaking red terror, essentially, in this country.
The Secret Service detail lets him down after he's out of office and he gets wiped out.
Who knows, man? I don't know. I'm just saying.
California would be the only place on fire if that happened.
Well, exactly. Well, that's what's going to be happening if stuff hits the fan. I hope it doesn't. And that's the extreme version, but I can see it occurring. You know, just the financial stuff alone, let alone all the other issues at hand. So I guess we'll find out. We'll be here as long as we're able. A Patriot Power Hour, step by step, reporting for better or worse.
Just a point I've made before I want to hit on before we jump out of here. This isn't necessarily just all doom and gloom. All these economic indicators we've come up with in the last couple of weeks, they're all laying in the safe zone. In fact, the debt to GDP ratio isn't even above 1. I mean, we're taking in more than we're borrowing on a quarterly basis. But, you know, when and if the stuff hits the fan.
But that doesn't include those transfer payments we're talking about, though.
Sure it does. That's the debt. Well, just the debt payments, the borrowing the U.S. government does. Right. How much they have to borrow for what they're spending is, I think it's like 7 times as much. Yeah.
So I get where you're coming from, though. You're right. Right now, today, October 24th, some things are shaking a little bit, but actually we're sitting kind of pretty, relatively speaking.
Could be the early stages of the hoovering. Keep your eye open. I'm calling that one if it happens early.
Oh, you called it like a while ago, so. You definitely got that one.
And negative interest rates will come to the United States. Many are beginning to write and agree. That's your August of 2019 prediction. Yep. 1 year later, we're watching that one.
We'll see. I don't know. I might be a little premature on that, but I'm not. I do expect to see 0% or less 10-year treasury in the future.
And finally tonight, Bitcoin took a shellacking, and you called the bear market. How long ago?
I hit it.
It was January of 18, wasn't it?
Yep. So it was a little bit past its peak, but probably when it was up at 16,000, it then dropped to below 4,000. So 75% drop.
Got hammered today.
Bounced back up
right?
From 4,000 up to 13,000, but is down now to about 7,500. So
yeah, 74.
It's really kind of at that point where if it starts dropping below 7 grand, we might be heading down to the basement again.
74.32 again tonight. You know, on the 72nd episode of Patriot Power, we're hitting about 70% of the weeks with the show. Been having fun doing it. Looking forward to knocking out season 8 all the way to Christmas with you.
Hell yeah.
Good show.
Good stuff. Absolutely. All right, folks. We'll be back next week. Halloween. So spooky. Catch you later. Patriot Power Hour out. We'll be right back.
Peggy. Front Point Partners. How can Standard & Poor's help you?
Well, we don't understand why the ratings agencies haven't downgraded subprime bonds since the underlying loans are clearly deteriorating.
Well, the delinquency rates do have people worried, but they're actually within our model.
So,
says you,
you're convinced the underlying mortgages in these bonds are solid loans?
That is our opinion,
Have
yes.
you cracked the tape? Have you looked at the loan level data?
What do you think we do here?
I mean, you're giving these loans to anybody with a credit score and a pulse.
Excuse me, sir. What do you think we do here all day?
I'm not sure. That's why we're here.
Here's what I don't understand.
We check, we recheck.
If these mortgage bonds are so stable, if they are so solid.
You should check your friends.
Have you ever refused to rate?
That's delusional.
Georgia,
we stand behind
that. Have you ever refused to rate any of these bonds upper tranches AAA? Can we see the paperwork on those?
Oh, I'm under no obligation to share that information with you.
Just answer
you might
the
be.
Question, Georgia. Can you name one time in the past year where you checked the tape and you didn't give the banks the AAA percentage they wanted?
If we don't give them the ratings, they'll go to Moody's, right down the block. If we don't work with them, they will go to our competitors. Not our fault, simply the way the world works.
Holy shit.
Yes, now you see.